Okay, let's get into Yerushalmi, Peah, Daf Lamed Dalet, 34, as we finish up the last few lines of the third parak, parak Malbinos, and get into parak HaPeah, right? The first parak called HaPeah. The first parak was Elu Dvarim, second parak was Elu Mafsikin. Third parak is Malbinos, and let's finish that up as from first. And again, today's year is sponsored anonymously in honor of their parents and with immense gratitude to the OU for their work in all aspects of Jewish life. So let's continue with the Mishnah. Mishnah tells us on Lamed Gimel Amid Bey. So again, we're up to the last halacha relating to Karka Kol Shehu. Right, we have a couple of Mishnayos here in the third parak of Peah that relate to the fact that the Mishnayos earlier, if you remember, had a couple of different opinions. What is the minimum amount of Peah, that minimum amount of field that one has to have in order to be Chayiv in Peah? So we had back on Daf Lamed Aleph and Aleph different opinions. Rabbi Eliezer said a base rova. Rabbi Yeshua said a field that produces satayim. Rabbi Tarfin says an area of 6x6 tvachim. And Rabbi Shua ben Maseira says enough to hold the grain and cut it twice. And then we don't pass on like any of those. We pass on like Rabbi Akiva in the next Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva says karka kol shehu. Even if somebody has a tiny, tiny field, what can you have on a tiny field? So what did the Mishnah say? You could have a stalk with a diamond in it, right? And that's enough to hold. And I say you could do kinyan agav, but even one little stalk. How do you one little stalk? Once you cut it, you cut it. It's done. No, you could cut a couple of pieces, ears or corn, right? The pieces off of the stalk, and then leave a couple of others, and that would be the peah. So yeah, we discussed that. So and we had a couple of other halachas, if you remember, relating to karka kol shehu. We had four in that Mishnah. We had peah, bikurim, prizbal, and kinyan agav. Those were the four. Then we mentioned the sugyas of shchiv meirah, that a shchiv meirah, as long as he leaves a little bit over, so then that is not a shchiv meirah, because we assume he's serious and he doesn't think he's going to die, or else he would have given over everything, right? That was shchiv meirah. And then related to that, we had a husband writing a little bit to his wife, writing even a karka kol shehu, and that's what we discussed at the end of the Gemara yesterday. And today we have the final halacha, and that is akosev nechasev. Our girsa here is akosev nechasev la'avdo. If you look in Gittin, the girsa is akosev kol nechasev la'avdo. All of his possessions. Either way, that's how it's explained here, right? If you look in the Ma'ara Folda, he adds in the word kol. If somebody has an Eved Kenani is owned by the master. The Maran Kiddushin talks about there's two types, and the Ramban emphasizes this around Daf Tevsvav or so, that a master has two kinyanim in the Eved. He has what's called a kinyan mamon, and he has a kinyan isser. Kinyan mamon is just monetary, and I own you, let's say, regarding your earnings, a kinyan mamon. But then there's something called a kinyan isser. That means your status. Your status is affected by my being the other and your being the Eved, L'may nafkamina, mitzvahs. An Eved Kenani is only chayv in mitzvahs like an Isha, right? The four or five or seven mitzvahs as Eishas Man Grama that he would be p'tur from. Also, that affects his marriage status, who he's allowed to marry. An Eved Kenani can marry a Shifcha Kenanis, but not a Bas Chorin and not a full non-Jew. So again, that's the Kinyan Mamon and Kinyan Isser. And that because of that Kinyan Isser, that is why an Eved requires a Shtar Shichrur, a document of emancipation. And we discussed yesterday, maybe I didn't mention this, we discussed yesterday the suffix of the Ksos. The Ksos said, could you use the Ba'in Ke'echad? Could you use that magical power of giving over a Matana? It only works by Get. So I didn't mention, it only works by Get and Shtar Shichrur. Right, those are the two that it works at, because that's also Bon Ke'echan. How could an Eved ever get freed if whatever he has is owned by the master? Komash Eved Kanarabo. So that's where the Gemara says, also there, Bon Ke'echan. The second that he gets his document of emancipation, at that second, he acquires his own status of his own Yad. What do you mean? But he can't have the Yad until he's freed. So it works circular, but that's the Chiddush of Bon Ke'echan. That works by get Isha, and it works by Shtar Shichrur. Because of that Kinyan Isser, that's why it's needed. So what happens if, and there are a couple of ways that a person could free his Eved, as is described in the Mishnayos in Kiddushin. So what happens if a man gives all of his possessions to his Eved, and he gives him a Shtar, you know, saying that all of my stuff is yours. So included in all of his stuff is the Eved himself. So, if somebody gives all of his property, we can assume that that is an act of shichur. That is an act of freeing, and therefore, yatsa ben chorin. Therefore, the slave goes free. The Eved Kanani goes free. And again, as I said, the Gerson in Maseches Gittin, which the Rishonim point out in Gittin Daf Ches, is Kol. Right? Because the point is, if you leave out any possession, we'll say, oh, maybe that he had the Eved in mind. That's what the Ma'arav Folder here says. Akosi nechazav la'avdo, sha'amar la'avdo, kol nechazai kenuyin lecha. He says, all of my possessions are coming to you. Afilu lo amar le'atzmecha, v'kenechazai kenuyin lecha. Even if he didn't say beferish, you are nikneh to yourself. He doesn't say that you are acquired to yourself. He just says all my possessions. Because an eved is included in the property. And therefore, and even though he says, what if he says all of my possessions should go to my eved? Isn't that kind of saying it's my eved? So maybe that's not included. No, no, that's just right now it's my eved, but I'm giving him and it's going to become not my eved. Klomar, avdi shahaya kfar. Right, even if he says my Eved, that doesn't undermine the statement, but it just clarifies that he was the Eved. So that's if the Mishnah says, if a person writes all of his possessions to an Eved, Yatza ben Chorin. But, this is why this is here, Shir Karka Kalshu, if he left out a little Karka, he says, all of my possessions are yours except for a little Karka, Lo Yatza ben Chorin, the Eved does not go free. What do you mean? He only left out a piece of land. But as we said, Avadim Hukish Lakarkos. Based on a limud, we compare Eved Kenani to karka, to land, and therefore, if he left out a piece of land, maybe he had in mind to leave out a little piece of Eved. Maybe he left out his Eved. And if he left out his Eved, then the Eved is not free, and therefore this shtar is meaningless. Because if the Eved is not free, then everything the Eved gets goes to the master, and it's meaningless. The shtar does not transfer anything. So that is the first opinion. Says the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Omer, La'olamu ben Charin. No, he is a ben Charin even if he left out a little. He goes free even if he left a little bit out. Ad sheyomar, unless he says, Hare kol nechasai nesudin lish ploni avdi chutz miechad miribo shebahen. If he generalizes, he says, unless he leaves out 1/10,000th, right? Says the Pnei Moshe. The Hoel v'Kamar Chutz Midavar Muat v'Lo Piresh Ma'u Sheshir. He left out something small that he didn't explain, so that's where maybe the Eved is included. To Baha Amrinan, to Achad Miribo, to Kamar Hainu Ha'Eved. That would include the Eved. V'Iyo Lachashav Le'elakechem Yibo Nachasim. And he says he's considered 1/10,000th of my Nachashim. Avagav Deshavitve, even though he's worth a lot more. But if he didn't, so then, as the previous premosha said, Hecha to Gali Gali, Umay to Lo Gali, whatever he said, if he didn't say it, then it must be included. And therefore, Reb Shimon said he would go free in more cases, unless he says, excluding 1/10,000. Says the Gemara, Reb Yossi, and the question, the Mefarshim debate, is this whole issue an issue of, we don't know what he's thinking? Right, we don't know what he's thinking. Is that the issue? If somebody says the Tanakhama said he left out a piece of karka, Yatza ben Chorin or Lo Yatza ben Chorin says Yatza ben Chorin, because maybe that's what he. So Pashup Shad is that because maybe that's what he meant. What if we know that he didn't mean it? We know that he didn't mean it, but still the language is not clear. So maybe that's the issue here. It's not just about the umdina. We don't know what he means, but it's the formal requirement of the shichur. And therefore, even if somebody is thinking, I want the Eved to go free, let's say he says, I'm giving you everything except my Eved, and he has five Avadim. So really, he means this Eved is gonna go free. But the other four are not included. So what if we know what he's thinking? So that's a debate in the Mefarshim. Right? If we know what he's thinking, is this just a question of Umtada, or it's a question of formal requirements of the language of the Shichra? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi b'Shemer Belezer, what if he didn't leave over karka? Right, the Mishnah said if he left over karka, what if he left over metaltalin? I hereby give everything to you, my Eved, except for one movable item. So says the Rebbe Lezer, ani omer gufo shir. Right, even if he left over metaltalin, maybe that means the Eved. Maybe he left over himself, meaning whether it's karka or metaltalin. Why? Because as we know, an Eved is sukash la karkos, but an Eved also moves, right? An Eved is not exactly like Karka. And the Marafolda here quotes the Rashbam from Baba Basra. We don't know if the person means Lashon HaTorah, and that Eved Hukush Lakarkos, or Lashon B'nei Adam. According to people's language, an Eved is not like a piece of land. An Eved is closer to a watch than a piece of land. It's property that moves. And therefore, we don't know what he means. Right, and therefore both either one could be included, and therefore the Eved does not go free. Right, you see the Marafolda, de mina Torah avdi kemekarkoi dami leficha chavikarka nami shir etzala Eved ulin yilasha bnei adam kemetatli dami ubechal matatlinu, and therefore we don't know. Maybe the Eved is included in either way. So whether he leaves over karka or matatlin, it is not good enough to free the Eved. Rabbi Shimon Omer v'chulu, ukshaba maisa lefnei Rabbi Yossi. When Rabbi Yossi heard about this, a statement of Rabbi Shimon, he was very excited. Omer, svasayim yishak, the lips kiss, meshiv nevarim nechochim, they say very correct words. Right, so Rabbi Yossi praised the words of Rabbi Shimon. We don't paskin, though, like that. Even though with all of that great, wonderful praise, but we do not paskin like that, where the Gemara in Gittin says that we paskin like the Tanakama. I just like the Tanakama. Good. So this is a Shtar Shichrur. When was there a Shtar Shichrur in history before the first Shtar Shichrur in history? Maybe. Rav Schechter on the Parsha came out recently, Volume 2. So if you look in Parsha's bow, I think it is, he talks about Makas Bachoros. And he talks there that there were really two major goals of the Makos, but Makas Bachoros had a third. Right? One major goal was to punish the Egyptians, punish the Mitzrayim. That was a major goal. Number two was to show the world, including the Jews, that HaKadosh Baruch was in charge. Those are the psukim in Sefer Shmos. Ki Lashem Ha'aretz, Ki Ein Kamoni B'chol Ha'aretz. The Ramban talks about the differences between these psukim, but that's number two. To show Hashem, to show the world of Hashkachas Hashem. Number three, Makas Bechoros had another purpose. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu warns Paro before all the Makos about the last Makah. Right, he warns him, I'm going to kill your firstborn. Right, even before all the Makas. And why Makas Bechoros had to happen? He explains, because that was the Maisa Shichrur of Paro and the Mitzrayim. We didn't just run away. We were set free. And the Makas Bechoros halachically was the Maisa. The Maisa HaShichrur that set us free. Hashem put us into that Avdus. Right, that was the we became avadim ayinu leparo, and then we were set free by him. If we weren't set free, then if any time in history they would recapture us, then our status would still be avadim. But as we mentioned before, there was a kinyan isser. We had the status of avadim, and when we became free through the maisa shichrur, so then that set us free. And he quotes the I think it's the Sfas Emes. He says, Hamaver Bana Ben Gizri was the sitter. The language, Hamaka Bevrasoko Bukhari Mitzrayim, Vayotzi Isami Sol Mitocha Bechairisola. That's the Lashon. Hamaka Bevrasoko Bukhari Mitzrayim, right? We say in Myriv, right? All the firstborns were smote, and then we went out Lechairis Olam. Because that created eternal freedom. Even if somebody would subjugate us again, that's just a physical, we're subjugated, but we don't have the status. Right, so that's the Makas Bechoros. That was the Maisa Shichrur. Right, we're talking a little bit about Shichrur here, but that was the Maisa Shichrur of Makas Bechoros, and again other rayas as well. Okay, Hadron Alach Malbanos. Right, so the third parak of Peah, which again it was all about the second and third parak had what to do with Hefsekim. Right, Malbanos also started with Hefsekim. You have trees between the onions v'chulu. Now we get into the next parak, which is a totally different area of Peah. But it gets back to what we've been talking about. Apparently, tenis ben mechuba lekarka. As we know, pay is given with what is still attached to the ground. Right? I'm supposed to not cut my entire field. Leave over. There's the ase and the lo sase. Remember, we discussed all the way at the beginning of the Masechta. And it might even be a machlok as we've shown him how we view the ase and the lo sase. If you remember the Rambam starts off hilchos manas haniyim. Don't cut your whole field. Don't cut it. If you cut your whole field, you did an avera. But it's a lavanita glase. And it's still a mitzvah to give what you cut now to the ani. So it sounds like for the Rambam that the assay is just backup. If you did the avera, so then you still have to give it to the aniyim. Right? You have to give it. But the ikar is the los assay. Don't cut your whole field. You have to leave it. Another Rishonim have a little more positive about giving one of the matnas aniyim. So pay has to be given, but mechuba lekarka, it has to be left. But what happens, says the Mishnah, bedalus ubedekel, what if you have, dalus is a very high vine, right? It's on, let's say, vines, just parenthetically, the Dvar Hashkafa of the day, right? Vine, grapes, are the only fruit that cannot grow by themselves. You don't have a vine tree, right? A vine has to be supported, right? An apple tree just grows, and a pear tree, and a plum tree just grows. A kerem has to be supported by a fence. You have to put it on something. Right, that's where Shlomo Zalman says, we say, describing a wedding, right, by the Gemara in Pesachim, Inve Agefen, Beinve Agefen, Davar Noam is Kabel. When vines, you know, interlock with each other, that's like the couple that's interlocking. Why Dafka vines? So Shlomo Zalman says, because vines have to be supported, right? The Chasen Akala have the parents and the grandparents. They can't be independent on their own. They have to be supported. Right? That's the vines. So what happens? That's the end of the Hashkafic commercial for the day. But now we get back. What happens if you have vines that are very high up? See, if you leave this to the Aniyim, they're never going to get it, or it's going to be dangerous. What, so you leave that for the Aniyim too? If it's very high up, Ubedekel, or a palm tree. Right, a palm tree goes, the dates are all the way up there, but there are no branches. So you can't climb up. So how do you get all the fruit? What, so you just leave it there? Says the Mishnah. No. In those cases, the Baal HaBayis goes and gets them down. Machlokes, is this a din daraisa? Is this a din darabanan? Could be a daraisa even. Could be a daraisa, but not 100% clear. So Baal HaBayis morid. The Baal HaBayis takes those down from the high places. Umachalik laniyim, and he gives it to the aniyim. So it's a double chiddush. Number one, the Baal HaBayis doesn't leave him up there. He takes it down. And number two, he doesn't just put it on the ground. He equally gives it out to the aniyim. Once he has it, he can be machalik laniyim. That is the Tanakhama. Rabbi Shimon Omer, af bechilkei agozim. Also by chilkei agozim, right, another type of tree of agozim, because the Ma'arav Folda says, lefishem chalakim. Also, it is smooth. Shein lam ksharim. There are no knots in the tree to, like, put your foot on. Va'anafim la'alos, or branches to go up. The Gra seems to say it's a din derabanan, the second point on the Mishnah, but that's the din. Afilu tishim v'tisha aniyim omrim l'chalik. What if there are? What about in a regular case of peah? Regular case, not a high tree now, right? There's regular grain. 99 aniyim say, could you please cut it for us and then give it out to us, divvy it up to us? V'yechad amar l'avuz, and one ani says, no, the mitzvah is to leave it, and we're going to take it ourselves. Lazeh shomin, that one guy wins. That one guy wins. Why? Shomer Kalacha. Because he's saying like he's supposed to. But the opposite of Bedalos Ubedekalein, okay, the opposite by the high ones, the dangerous ones. There, I feel a tishim with this Shomer Lavuz, even if 99 say, leave them, we'll deal with it, we'll climb up. No. V'yachanam alachalik, and one of them says, no, it's dangerous, give it out. Lazeh Shomin, Shomer Kahalacha. So then you listen to that one, because he says Kahalacha. There's a very important Mishnah Rishona. Mishnah Rishon is one of the commentaries on Mishnayos, on the bottom of the Yochanan Boaz. There's the Mishnah Rishona and the Mishnah Achrona. So the Mishnah Rishona here says, but what does it sound like for the Mishnah? And the Rambam says this. If it's 99 to 1 in a regular case of pay, and 91 say, cut it for us, and one of them says, leave it, so the one wins, because he's saying Kalacha. And what if it's 100 to 0? If it's not, it says 99 to 1. What if it's 100 to 0? So it sounds like from the Mishnah, then you will listen to the 100. Because here's, you listen to the 1, because he's saying, but what if there's none? What if all the Aniyim say, like Bizman Azad, none of the Aniyim say, leave it, right? They don't want it. So it must be, if it's 100, so then you would say that you listen to the Aniyim. Why? Because the whole purpose of leaving it, if you're a member, we have the Tosefta, is all for the good of the Aniyim. Letovas aniyim and the bittel aniyim, and so it's all for the aniyim. So if every ani says this is what we want, so then lachora you listen to them. That's what he says. Hayin v'tayim atav de mitzvasan lavuz v'lo lachalik bishon takanas aniyim kadesh lo yeh lino ben abaylim kibal abayis shenosim ubachalik lefichach imratzu limcho mochelin. Therefore, if they want to be mochel and say, please cut it for us, they can be mochel. Avalam echad mehem eino mochel, shomen lo. If one is not mochel, so then you don't listen. And then he discusses, and what if there is a child amongst them who doesn't have das to be mochel? Right? What if there's one child, so then maybe the mochel doesn't work? Because they can't, that child can't be mochel. Okay. But then he says, one second, mitzorach liyashev, and this is part of the Shabbos HaGadol Drasha, he says, kiva delo kayamlan. We have a machlokes in Bamitziah about darshin and time and dekra, lo darshin and time and dekra. Do we darshin reasons for mitzvos in order to then describe whether the mitzvah applies in a certain case or not? It's always good to look to search reasons for mitzvos, but we're not allowed, we paskin that we're not allowed to darshan a reason and then affect the mitzvah based on the reason. Decide whether the mitzvah applies or not. So here, the mitzvah is to leave the peah, to leave it standing. What? The reason? Darshin and time and dekra. The ani is going to tell us this is what we want? Well, it's your mitzvah. Tazov. Leave the peah. Right? That's the kahalacha, as the Mishnah says. So why should it be? Just because even if 100% of the aniim say it, why should you be able to do that? That's his kasha. Answers the Mishnah Rishona. We're talking about monetary law. A monetary mitzvah. Monetary mitzvah for sure, mechila would work. And then he gives it to the balabayas and help me out. Vidami is as similar to a man, right, Gemara in Ksubis, man who marries a woman, a man says, I want to marry you as long as I do not have any marriage obligations. So everybody agrees that that condition does not work by the non-monetary obligations. Right, the physical obligations to a husband, to a wife, that for sure he has. But what about the monetary obligations that he has? That's a machlokas tanaim. And the Yehuda says, "V'davar shebemamon to no kayim." But monetary law, if she's mocheles, then it can work. Okay, so this is a lot of what he discusses. Then he says, and what about if there's 100-0 regarding the dangerous situation? Fine in the case of the regular payah. But if 100 aniyim say, no, we want to fight it out, even though one of us is going to get hurt, we still want... So is that also? You would stay 100-0 there? He says, maybe you can't be mochel. Maybe you can't be mochel on a physical, potential, dangerous situation. Maybe you can't do that. But the Gemara talks about if somebody says, rip my shirt and you'll be putter, then you'll be putter. What if somebody says, punch me in the face and you'll be putter? Then you can't, that's, you're not allowed to, you don't have bilum on your body. Right? It's an isser. Not an isser of wounding. Okay. So anyway, fascinating discussions. Good. Maybe one other source to mention when we talk about. So one answer that the Mishnah Rishona gives is "B'davish b'mamon t'nau kayam." I'll give another answer based on others, and that is sometimes something is not a reason for the mitzvah, but it's the essence of the mitzvah. For example, there's a Tosfos HaRosh in Bava Metzia Daf Tzadi. We know there's an isser of muzzling your animal. You're not allowed to muzzle your animal. So losachsam sharabadisho. Ask the Gemara. And what if the animal has terrible stomach issues? Right, it's very loose stomach, and therefore you want to muzzle the animal, because if the animal eats, it's going to be in a lot of pain. So you want to muzzle the animal for the good of the animal. Are you allowed to do that? The Gemara's question. Ask the Tosfos HaRosh, lo darshin et time et dekra. What are you talking about? The Torah says, don't muzzle the animal. What are you looking for cheshbonos? Don't muzzle your animal. What if the animal has a stomach ache? So the Tosfos HaRosh says, no, because it's obvious that this halacha is l'tovas ha'animal. It's not like a chok. Is l'tovas that's not a reason for the mitzvah. That's the essence of the mitzvah, for the tova of the animal. Hainu aval hacha pshita drachmana lo azir el tovas shel beima imishum del malila imishum delo litzayir. Therefore, that's how the Gemara can ask such a question. That's an important marker. Tosa Russian Bamatsiya Dapsadi. Okay, ksiv. So now we're going to get into psukim that seem to be mechalik between the low peya and the high peya. And that's the question: is how to understand this Gemara? Is this a chilik a din daraisa or a din derabanan? Ksiv lo sachal pasatcha b'kutzrecha. Don't cut your old field. Mikan shapeya nitad is a mechubel karka. That means you have to leave the peya growing. Yachal afilu b'dalas b'dekel. You might think even if the very high hanging fruit tamalomar ketsir. Ketsir means wheat. Ketsir is wheat, meaning the low, it says, the leaf paya by the wheat. So we have a limitation. Ma ketsir miyuchad. Shakatan Moshe Boka Gadol. Just like, what do you have to leaf paya from? Ketsir, wheat, which a short person and a tall person are equal to be able to get it. Yatsu adalas vadekal shenakatan Moshe Boka Gadol. Excluding the dalas, the high vines, and the dekal, and the high dates, that cannot be gotten katan kugadol. So pashas, it sounds like a din daraisa. It sounds like a chilik on a daraisa level. Pshuto. But again, some say it might be an asmachta. Istaboy mashmi'ine minada, and some have a different makar. Ta'azov, leave it in the field. Hanach lefneyan, leave it in front of the ani. Tzvua bakasha, grain in its stalks. Tiltan ba'amir. Tiltan is another type of growth. Fenugreek is the fancy name. It's one of these why do I know that? Because it's one of the simanim by Rosh Hashanah. And you have the whole list of things. You go to the store, and one of them is, okay, buy fenugreek. But that's tiltan. Tiltan, ba'amir, leaf tiltan in its stalk. Tzmarim b'machbedos, the dates in the machbedos. Machbedos is a broom, but that's how they look. They grow in like a broom-looking piece. So yachal, so therefore that's the tazov. You have to leave them. So yachal b'dalas b'dekel, okay, and you might think even the high ones should be left that way. Tamalomar osam. Them, only them. So the word ta'azov is an inclusionary word. The word osam is an exclusionary word. These and not others. So Mari Isalarabos Azilu Hotzi Aselu. Why do you include low-lying fruit and exclude the high ones? So the Gemara says, Achat Shriba HaKasiv Umiyet, we add in above, since we have a pasuk that includes and a pasuk that excludes. So Mar Ben Yesh Elu, She'enan Shal Sakana, Umotzi Nias Elu, She'en Shal Sakana. I include the ones that are not dangerous to cut, and I exclude the ones that are dangerous to cut. So that's why it is, that's the second makar, right? So different makaras, either kitsir, everything like kitsir, which is the low ones, or inclusion, exclusion, you include one, you exclude others. Says the Gemara, and we add in a word here, mechubar ve'eno mechubar, question mark. What is that question? Let's say the high ones. So the Baal Bais is going to cut it down. Does it belong to the Ani? Usually things belong to the Ani when it's still in the on the stalks, right? While it's still mechubar, it already belongs to the Ani. Here though, the Torah maybe is telling you that you, the Baal Bais should cut it and then give it to the Ani. So does it belong to the Ani yet before the Baal Bais cuts it or not? That's the question here. Lumdus. So what's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is in Tamar Mechubar Hu Kori Shem Peya Lamalan. When do you have a Kriya Shem? When do you label it as Peya? If it's Mechubar, so then you label it. If it's even the Ani is when it's attached, so you can label it as Peya even when it's all the way up there. In Tamar Sheinu Mechubar, and if you say that it's only the Ani's after it's detached, Koresham Peya Lematan. You only call it Peya Lematan. Put this on the list. We discussed weeks ago. Does one have to be Koreshem for Peya? Does one have to label it as Peya or just leave it there? It's Kamat Mefurish in this Gemara. That there's a Kriyas Shem for Peya. Right? When do you, again, you could reread this, but that's what the Torah Zeroyim brought up, if you remember, way back when, the Torah Zeroyim, on the last page in Peah, page Lamed, in the Sefer. He says, Nistapakti, the ain't Peah Shiyakri Lashem, im Hudin Bekriya Shem, is it a real din? Or, again, you can understand this as not a positive din, but just like Lamaisa, when is it Peah? But it sounds like it's a real din. It's a real din of Kriya Shem here. And he has nafkaminas. Do you have to be Kori Shem LaPeah? Could you make a shliach to be Kori Shem? Do you make a bracha on Afresh's Peah? What about a child, a katan? So he has different nafkaminas, assuming that you would require Kriya Shem. And that is what the Gemara Suffolk seems to be here. E, Tomar. Koreshem Peya Lamalan. And now we have a halachic difference. Im Tamar Koreshem Peya Lamalan. If you say that it's the Ani's really when it's already up top, Hotzal Mishel Aniyim. Who has to pay the expenses of getting it down? See, if it already belongs to the Ani's, then the Ani would have to pay it. And the Baal HaBayis is going to do it for the Ani, but the Ani's going to have to pay for those expenses. Who's going to have to call the crane? Right, to get it down. So, in Tamar, Kori Shem, Peyam, and Lamatam, but if it's only Kori Shem. And again, how would you read this if you don't have the positive requirement? You would just say, it is Peya. It is Peya. Don't take the word so literally. See, if you say it's only the belongs to the Ani Milamata, no, it's Amishal Balabayas. So the Gemara at first assumes that Lamai Nafkamina, is it the Ani's up top or not? So who has to pay for the expenses to get it down? But then the Gemara says, as you would have thought, God, you're going to make the Ani pay. No, he's an Ani. Afilu Tamar Kori Shem Peya Lamalan. Even if you want to say that it's Peya up top, right? And therefore, it's already Shayach to the Ani. Hitshrichu al Baal HaBayis Shetei Hotzah Shalom Abnei HaSakana. We still say the Baal HaBayis has to pay for the expenses. We're not going to say that, it belongs to the, that the Ani's going to have to do it. The Rav Shlomo Zalman has a suffix in the Mandani Aretz. What happens if you have a field that's all La'aniyim? How do you have that? Have all aniyim? Let's say it's vines, and they're all those inferior type of grapes that are the ololos. Right? So all the inferior ones, they have to leave to the ani. So they're all vines hanging high. Would you say that the Baal HaBayis has to do the expenses, even though he's getting zero from the field? Right? Would you go that far? Right? We're not, we don't want to be matriach the aniyim. See, that's suffix. You know, maybe you'll say only if he's getting some of the field. So then he's gonna, it's a low, we're matriachim. But if he doesn't get anything, maybe not. Okay, either way, this last line also obviously has a durabanan type of feel. Hitshrichu balabayis, mibnei hasakana. Okay, want more there, but let's continue. Tani b'shem Rabbi Meir, kol ilona sakana. Rabbi Meir says, what do you mean just vines? All trees, there's a sakana to get up. And therefore, by all trees, you would have this din of bringing it down. The Pnei Moshe says the havamina here is the bidrasha de krapaling. We just had two sources in the Gemara, so maybe Rav Meir argues. The Rav Meir lo darish katsir. Rav Meir doesn't darshin, as we just said earlier. Katsir, you know, katsir is just like katan Moshe Balka Gadol. He doesn't have that drasha. Hilkach svirale. I'm still reading the Pnei Moshe. The lav davka b'dalzu b'dekel. So if he doesn't darshin katsir similar to katsir, right? He only darshins the second one. Maybe it applies to all trees. Shein gavoin amru balabais morda machalik. All trees, even katan Moshe b'gadol. Dolo amr Torah ela b'kir tzircha. Right? You don't. Maybe Rav Meir argues on that drasha. Back to the Gemara. Kali lada sakaner. Rav Meir lo darash katsir. Rav Meir doesn't darshin that limitation. Rabban and darshi katsir. Is that how we shall understand it? It's a machlokas about whether you would limit it to dangerous types of trees. The Gemara answers no. Kolama darshi katsir. No, everybody darshins katsir, and therefore it would be limited. The question is, Ella Remeir, there's a certain level of danger, even by not such high trees. Even by not such high trees. So that's the machlokas. What would be demanded? Ella Remeir Omer, kolilonis basakana. Remeir says all trees have some level of sakana. Right, even if it's you don't have to climb all the way up, they all have some level. Rabbanan Amri sakana ela hadalas vadeka bovad. Rabbanan say no, come on. But an orange tree, right? Trees that you could stand on the floor. So Rameir would include all trees bisakana. I saw one of the akron in the back say this is Rameir l'shitaso. Rameir all over Shas is chayshinon lemiut, is choshish lemiut. He's choshish for the minority percentage. So maybe that's Rameir here. Right, Meir, yeah, most trees are not, but there are some trees that could be dangerous, even if you have a low orange tree. Maybe there might be a tall orange tree. And therefore, there might be Meir. And if you allow some, you're going to have to allow all of them. So, Chayshin and Lemiut. Interesting, we know in Halacha, not all Miyuts are created equally. Rav Schechter likes to point this out in some of his Shiurim. He says there are five types of Rove. Five types of Rove. One type of Rove is a Rove Garua, a very weak Rove, 51%. 51%, a rov garua. That's very weak. Maybe you don't even say a rov beats chazaka there. Usually, ruba v'chazaka, ruba adif. You wouldn't say that over there because it doesn't function as a birur, 51%. Then there's the rov bari, a nice strong rov, between 70 and 90%. That's a birur, that beats chazaka, but the miyut is still there. It's at least 10%. At least 10% of a miyut, and that's where Remeir is choshish lemiyut. That's where the Remeir says there's the chayshin lemiyuta. If there's a rove bari, but Remeir says there's still a significant rove. The third level is more than 90%. The Mishkanus Yaakov says that a miyut hamatsui is 10%. So if it's a miyut she'eno matsui, less than that, so that's a very strong rove, and that you can rely on for certain halachas, right? Even Remeir would not say choshes lemiyut in that case. Then you have, number four, miyuta to miyuta, 99%. 99%. So there, even Remeir is not. Remeir might be choshesh by being a matzi. The fourth one, he is not choshesh. Maybe you even follow the rove for mumminess. Even though we say ein hakamam monachar a rove, but this might be a super duper rove. 99%. And then you have the fifth line that's sometimes called in the achronim echad mini elef. One in a million. That's even less than 99%. One in a million. One in a million. There you could be even mako by bikuach nefesh sometimes. Right, the Chassam Sofer as a discussion, famous discussion, 200 years ago, Rahman al-Aslan, certain countries in Europe made a rule, you're not allowed to bury someone until 3 days after they died. There was a rule that they made because they wanted to make sure there was some mistakes made where they buried somebody who was alive, who wasn't really dead yet, so they said, 3 days, that was a big, very big, Shas HaTzchak, mamish, can't bury someone. So the Chassam Sofer in that Shuvah talks about if somebody has all the simanim of death and all the doctors say he's dead and you wait a couple of hours, what, because of one in a million, right? So what do you mean? Pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh. Don't bury. The answer is that's not, if all the doctors, you wait a couple of hours, he's dead, you would be makel even by a pikuach nefesh in that case. Okay, either way here, maybe it's based on Remeir being choshesh lemiyut, but obviously it would be one of the miyutim that is somewhat significant. Okay, we'll stop here.